Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Of rejoicing and gladness, which we might be inclined to think, but it's an indication of what the kingdom of heaven is like, and that is, it is like a union. This is why the Lord uses the marriage image. In fact, you see this over and over and over again, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The Lord Himself describing His relationship to His chosen people as a marriage. And that means that the kingdom of heaven, life with God, is like this kind of union, of which earthly marriages are a dim shadow. And this marriage is celebrated in the form of a banquet, a meal. And the Lord, who has prepared this marriage for His Son, His eternal only begotten Son, begins to send forth His servants to call those who were invited. So the invitation had already taken place, and then whenever things were ready, He sent His servants out to say, "Now it is time, come and enjoy the banquet." And so those who receive them begin to make excuses. And they say, "Well, I've got my farm, I've got my merchandise, I can't come." And there are those who are remaining who are even worse than that, worse than those who make excuses, and they take the servants and they beat them and kill them. So the king casts those servants out as unworthy, and then he says to his own servants, "The wedding is ready. Those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bring them to the marriage." And the servants that go out and they bring in everyone they find, both bad and good. So up to this point, I think it's pretty clear the meaning of the parable, right? It was not lost on the Pharisees of Jesus' own time, but of course all of the church fathers comment on this particular aspect of the parable, in that this is a description of the end of the old covenant and the beginning of the new. Those who had been entrusted with the old covenant had made themselves unworthy, and the spiteful treating and murder of the servants of God, the prophets, is simply a witness to that. And so the Lord casts those out, that is, the leaders of the ancient Hebrew people, the Pharisees and their priests. And those who remain faithful receive the grafting on of the Gentiles, who receive the word of God. Those who are out in the highways and the hedges, both bad and good, and they're brought in, and they are initiated into this union, into this feast. Now, I hope that you've already connected the dots. The feast is the Eucharistic meal. The banquet of the kingdom of God is Holy Communion. And those who have received Him with faith have been invited and have already accepted the invitation. We are the bad and the good, which have been brought in from the highways and the hedges to enjoy the marriage feast, which was prepared from before the ages. And yet we shouldn't pride ourselves in any way on thinking, "Well, those were unworthy and now I'm worthy." Archbishop Dimitri of blessed memory comments, he has a little nice little volume that he published interpreting the parables of Christ, and he talks about this one and he says, "There's no reason for us to feel any kind of disdain for the Jews." He said, "Because the same excuses that they made, farms and merchandise, we frequently make ourselves. Considering the concerns of this world as of equal or perhaps even more importance than the things of God, we should rather fear and tremble and draw near to the Lord." Because it says, after the marriage banquet had been furnished with guests, the king comes in to gladden his guests with his presence. And when he comes in, he finds a man there not wearing a wedding garment. In the ancient Near East, whenever a man, particularly a wealthy man, would throw a wedding feast, it was his obligation to provide a garment for his guests whenever they would come into the wedding. They were clothed at the door. So the fact that this man is in the wedding feast with no wedding garment means that whenever he came in, he took it off. So those of us who have been called into the wedding feast have been clothed with the garment of righteousness, have been baptized into Christ. We should not sit in pride in ourselves and think, now I'm here and I'm saved. Because all too often we find ourselves working against the work of Christ, stripping ourselves of the garment that he has clothed us with. And when the Lord of the feast finds this man with no wedding garment, he speaks to him kindly, "Friend, how did you get in without receiving a wedding garment?" And the man's response is silence, because he has no answer to give. How did you come in? Everyone was clothed at the door. What did you do with your wedding garment? This is the sobering message for you and for me. Again, it's not for us to sit and look back on those Pharisees of 2,000 years ago, or even modern day Jews who are the descendants of those Pharisees, and to disdain them in any way and say, well, they missed the boat. Good thing we made it. Because the Lord is very clear. He didn't end the parable there, right? He didn't stop there and say, and then all the bad and the good from the hedges and the highways were brought in and the marriage feast was filled. He goes on and describes the sad condition of this man who had stripped himself of his garment, having been brought in. So the parable serves also as a warning to you and to me that we should not lose sight of the tremendous grace and mercy that we have received from God. We should not disdain God in any way, but should rather strive to retain the garment with which we have been clothed. That garment we could describe simply as the commandments of Christ, but of course the greatest commandment of all is the commandment of love. Archbishop Demetri cites St. John Chrysostom, St. Gregory the Great, and Blessed Augustine in this vein. All of them agree the garment is love. And therefore, you and I, above all things, should strive for this love, love for one another, and love for God. Following the words of the Apostle, to love those whom we see so that we may grow in the love for him whom we do not see. This is the call for you and for me, to make ourselves worthy sons and daughters, worthy guests at the marriage banquet of the Son of God, so that we may enjoy that true and splendid union with God, which begins here in this life and which persists unto eternity. To God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship from the ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our church.